See, I knew the moment I put that food in my mouth, I wasn't going to get sick anymore. Hallelujah. Now I can see and now I can eat. In that order. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
And then I was telling the sister back there, then I got shingles on top of that. And please don't do this. Somebody said, what do you do with shingles? Put them on the roof. I don't want to hear that. Man, I got so bad, Brother Lawrence. I so ill. Jesus himself couldn't live with me. I had them right here where they done that gallbladder surgery. And I got to tell you this. That surgeon that don't know me from Adam, he come in my room and examined me. He said, when I put them incisions in there, I said, meanness just oozed out of you. That pitiful. Don't know me from Adam. But I want you to listen to this. I was telling her I couldn't stand for my clothes to touch me. Anybody ever had shingles? Raise your hand. Boy, that's rough, ain't it, Doc? So, well, I might as well just tell all of it. Now, you can hush. My wife, somebody came up with this idea to put a butter bowl dish lid right here. Well, that's all I knew to do to keep. I'd do it. Amen, I'd do it. I put that butter bowl, I taped it on me. A butter bowl dish lid. Then we progressed. Look at Jay. Then they told me to put saran wrap. So I put saran wrap on me. And I still. Can you imagine if I had a wreck and somebody took my shirt off and said, what is that saran wrap doing on that man? But it worked, amen. But anyway, lens, gallbladder surgery, and then shingles. And I'm telling you, if you got good health, you ought to shout the praises of God.
Amen.
To get up and feel good. Yeah. Now let's do this. All right, Matthew, please, in chapter 19, verse 27. Now it goes right along. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter. Now when you read your Bible, nobody's asking him anything. He's always doing this. He's always doing it. Then answered Peter. Nobody had asked him anything. Then answered Peter and said unto him, talking to the Lord Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have there? He says, therefore. Do y'all see the question mark, Brother Don? Do you see it? In essence, here's what Peter's saying. He's saying, well, what are we going to get out of this? He says, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice now, these men, Jesus just told them, now that word shall is an emphatic word, said you're going to sit and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Look, if you would, in verse 29. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake, shall receive what? Say it back to me. A what? A hundredfold. Now, Jesus said that. He said, you'll receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, in other words, one day they're just going to switch places. That's what the book says in verse 30. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I pray, Lord, tonight make preaching easy for me. I pray, Spirit of God, you're the most welcome guest. Lord, may we count our blessings. May the Spirit of God be able, Lord, to touch our old hearts. God, please, do something for us this week. Lord, do something for me. Help us, I pray, God, please, to fix our eyes upon you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 19, if I ask you a question tonight, and so many people, and it irritates me, they got this mentality. They'll say, what's in it for me? Anybody ever heard that? I've heard it a blue million times. What's in it for me? Well, you ask some people that, and it's money, or it's material things, or it's mastery. Some people it's pleasure. Some people it's power. Some people it's preeminence. What's in it for me? If they can't be in the limelight or if they can't get any kind of recognition out of it, they just ain't going to do it. Watch this. I got to show you this. Then I thought about this. Some people, it's what I call popularity. They want so much to be popular. They want so much for somebody to feel like, well, I'm important to that person. Could I tell you something? If nobody ever pats me on the back, boy, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus knows me. That's all that matters to me. Now listen to me carefully. What's in it for me? Why don't you go back and look in your Bible. If I ask some people that, they say, well, according to verse 29, you shall receive a hundredfold, and then he says, and shall inherit everlasting life. Then he says, those that are first is going to be last, and those that's last is going to be first. Keep your finger and turn back to the book of Mark with me, please. Go to Mark with me. Write this down now. In the book of Mark, and I want you to watch it in Mark chapter 9. Read with me, please, in your Bible. And I want you to look, if you don't mind, in verse 41. Mark 9, verse 41. Jesus said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water. Did y'all get this? Whosoever give you a cup of water, watch it, to drink in my name, because, he says, you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. Is there rewards in heaven? Yes. Yes. Have you ever thought about it? It's not the street of gold, Brother David. It's not the walls of jasper. It's none of that stuff. What do you mean, preacher? Did you know there's five crowns in the Word of God that you can have? According to, go back, keep your finger back in Matthew, please. I thought about this. That reward, what do you mean? One day we're going to rule and reign with the Son of God. You can't even give a cup of water that God don't take notice of. The Bible says that some soweth and some watereth, and God gets the increase. I got to tell you this. Most of you know that I go to the Lumbee Indians every year of my life. Have been for, I don't know, 30 years of my life, and I love those Lumbee Indians. And I met a man years ago, and his name was Brother William. And William had killed a man when he was real young, shot him with a single-barrel shotgun, shot him at point blank right in the chest and killed him. Over $2. William went to a North Carolina prison. While he was in the prison, William got saved listening to Oliver B. Green. While he was in there, brother, this man by the name of William, William Oxendine started all kinds of Bible classes in there. Boy, he got all kinds of literature from Dr. Oliver Green. In fact, Brother Green even told us that he said, I know William Oxendine. He sent him literature all the time and books and tracts and everything for his classes in prison. 25 years of his life went down. He thought he'd never get out of prison. When he got out of prison, this man by the name of William, that's when I met him. Boy, he was doing so good. I mean, you can't believe it. He was a jewel cut on every corner. Man, he was winning people to Christ, bringing drunks and whores and thieves and robbers and killers to the church. And boy, they was getting saved. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
But Brother William, we go to his house and eat. And boy, I'm telling you, you just can't believe what a man he was. But anyway, he got him a job in an asbestos plant right after he got out of prison. Right, just as soon as he got out of prison, went to work at an asbestos plant there in Lorenberg. Years went by, and this man by the name of William got cold on God, and he quit witnessing. He got all hurt at churches and got hurt at preachers and started this church hopping. God ain't in a million miles of it. Say amen right there. Going from one church to the next, God ain't in it. Say amen.
Right.
Boy, that was, thank you, Brother Junior, this other bunch. If you don't say amen, I'm going to stay right there. If you want to get your life in a mess, start that mess. Amen. But anyway, William started that. They asked me, they said, would you go visit William? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I'll go visit William. Me and the preacher went and knocked on his door. And that's before they ever had the oxygen tanks. She said, Brother William's in the bathroom, said he'll be out in a moment. When William come out of that bathroom door, he had this oxygen hose with him. And I went over and hugged his neck, and he hugged me, and he didn't hug the preacher because they'd been at each other. He sat down in a reclining chair. I went over there and got down beside him because he was gasping for breath. I said, Brother William, I want to know something. Yeah, Brother Simpson. I said, Brother William, is everything all right between you and the Lord? And he paused and he got real quiet. He said, Brother Simpson, he said, I've got $400,000 settlement in the bank over this asbestos in his lungs where they made brake shoes and he's dying with emphysema. He said, I'd give every nickel of it if I knew that I'd have 3 months to live. Before I could say another word, here's what he said. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But he said, I dread facing God with such a wasted life. Let me say that again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But he said, I dread facing God with such a wasted life. And I thought about all that man done after he got out of prison when he's in prison. Now, God knows your motive. Say amen. God knows your motive as to why you do what you do. By the way, when I went and visited William just a few days later, William went on to be with the Lord. Just a few days later. Boy, isn't that a sad thing? I know I'm saved, and I know but I dread facing God with such a wasted life. The Bible says in Acts 9, when Saul of Tarsus got saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So I thought this, listen, one day we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And Luke 6 and verse 23, Jesus says, great is your reward in heaven. Then there's that number one, write it down. There's a crown of life in James 1 and verse 12. Secondly, there's the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. There's a crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 and 20. There's a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. There's a crown incorruptible. What do you mean, preacher? Have you ever thought about it, about them crowns? What do we do with them? Well, turn right quick to your Bible and look to Revelation just for a moment. And look at Revelation chapter 4 with me just for a moment. What do you, knowing one day that I am going to face the Lord Jesus, I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I don't want my life to be a wasted heap. And I don't believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. If there's five crowns, look in your Bible in Revelation 4, look down verse 9 with me. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and forever, the 4 and the 20 elders fall down before Him that sat upon the throne, and they worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And it says, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all thy things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What I want you to see tonight, if there is, I'd like to, what do you mean, preacher? I'd like to have a crown, but I'd like to be able to lay it at His feet. You know what's so sad is I don't believe somebody's going to have nothing to lay at His feet. We're too busy involved in this world. We're supposed to be pilgrims. We say we're going to heaven. Well, why did God even save something like Noble Crowley? Why did God save something like me? If God just saved us and took us to heaven, son, why didn't He take us to heaven the moment He saved us? We're the only hands. We're the only feet. We're the only mouthpiece. We're supposed to be ambassadors. I'd like to have a crown to lay at His feet, amen. And I'd like to hear the words, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. I'd like to run my race and finish my course, and I'd like to run my race well. I don't want to be a has-been, used to be washed up. I don't want to just drag into heaven. I want Him to be pleased with me. I'd like to have a crown to lay at His feet. The second thing, go back to Matthew, please, chapter 19. Not only for rewards, what's in it for me? I do believe this, and boy, God has been good to me, Brother Lawrence. Hallelujah. If you knew all the times that people have come to my... I'm thinking about long before when I went into evangelism back in 81, and I think about how many people, as an analogy, I think about how many people have gave me a cup of water, and I think about the people that have helped me, and some of those men are sitting right there. But my point is watch this. I'm saying God knows the motive as to why that we do what we do. Amen. I'm saying what's in it for me? I'd like to have a crown to lay at the feet of my Savior. Amen. Boy, God's been good to me. Let me show you this and watch this. Go back to Matthew 19. Peter says, what shall we have therefore? In other words, what's in it for me? Well, I believe this all my heart. I believe you ought to say, God, I want something to lay at your feet. The second thing, I believe this all my heart, what's in it for me is to help others. Yeah. If you get busy, get out here and get involved in people's lives, you'll find you don't have it near as bad as you think you've got it. Yes, sir. Amen. I go to hospitals. I go visit people. I've been in jails just visiting. And I look and I think about how God's blessed me, amen. You wouldn't be so depressed, you wouldn't be so despondent if you get out here and look around and just see how other people have got it. Notice in your Bible, not only to lay a crown at His feet, but the second thing is helping others. What do you mean, brother, sister? The Lord said in Matthew 4, He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. See, Miss Betty has got gifts that I don't have. Everybody, Larry's got a gift that I don't have. Brother Jay, I've got gifts. I've got gifts they don't have. But we're to use our gifts to glorify God. Used to, when I was a boy, it was never, you helped people and you didn't expect nothing in return. When I was a boy, we used to go, somebody had a tragedy in the community. I was just a towhead of a boy. And we carried water, and we carried nails and hand-up lumber, and they put sheds on and build roofs on, help people, and they didn't expect nothing in return. They'd done it because they just loved helping other people. And the older I get, the more I realize how much we need each other. Amen. Not only to lay a crown at His feet, but then helping others. What do you mean, preacher? And I believe this. It ought to be the driving force. It ought to be a stimulating thing in your life. And by the way, the happiest you'll ever be in your life is when you get involved in helping other people. Hell, glory to God. I like it. Amen. Now, somebody, if you ever been took, are you breathing air? Sure, I've been took a whole lot of times, but it sure has not burnt me out. I've got a lot more blessings than I have been took. Amen. What I'm saying is to get involved in helping other people. I told some of you, I'd rather fall on my face attempting to do something than do nothing. Nobody don't want to get involved in the drunks' lives. Nobody don't want to try to help the druggies. Nobody don't want. I told them we got to get the church outside the four walls. Listen to me. I'm talking about getting involved in helping others. Little did I know when I make this statement. I told a man, and I, Brother Noble, God knows, listen to me. I appreciate everything anybody, you ladies, God, y'all, what a meal. I'm sort of upset at you because you didn't bring my beans, but that's okay. Who fixed them white beans? Oh, Lord, help us. Who fixed them? Raise your hand. Oh. I love them. But do you realize and understand the meal that y'all cook? Do y'all realize and understand that you'll have a reward in heaven? Yeah. Boy, that was pitiful. I appreciate what people do for me. But I made a statement, and I'm not back up on the niche. I told this man years ago, I said, I appreciate you taking me out and buying me a meal. I appreciate that with all my heart. But I said, sometimes what y'all do is take somebody that ain't able to go. Take some senior citizen that's on a fixed income. Say amen to me. Take somebody out. Buy them a meal. Fix a big bowl of them white navy beans. Hallelujah. And cornbread. Amen, citizen. Well, y'all don't think y'all are getting what I'm trying to get you to see. Why can't we get busy in helping other people? We all say we need each other. But we're all in this little mud ball planet called Earth. Nobody don't want to talk to the young people. They're facing problems and issues. Brother, I wouldn't want to be 14, 15 years old. Not in this society. Say amen. But nobody don't want to try to get involved and try to help them. Helping other people ought to be a motivating force in our life. Amen. I go back in my mind. Now watch it. I thought about this. You'll never be the same. You'll absolutely, it'll revolutionize your life when you get involved. And God, the Holy Ghost, uses you to win one person to Christ, you'll never be the same. To know that He used you for whatever aspect, maybe to bring them to church. Maybe because you went the extra mile. Amen. And just tried to, anybody ever slammed a door in your face? Anybody ever done that? Well, I don't know why that you would think that that's so terrible. Look what they've done to Jesus. Well, so what if they slam a door in our face? So what if they cuss us out? I don't like to be cussed out, but I have been cussed out. I've had doors slammed in my face. And apart from the Spirit of God, there's nothing you wouldn't do either. But our problem is, I'm saying, what's in it for me? I'd like to have a crown to lay at His feet, and I'll be honest with you, I've realized it's an antidote. It's a help. It's a thing that I can't. Dr. Dixon and I talk about it. It's something that you can't put your finger on. It's not a pill you can take. But if you get out here and get busy trying to help other people, it'll change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. Amen, Brother Sisson. Helping others. Now, let me show you. But the devil will come to your place of service. He'll say, boy, you ain't going to amount to much. Oh, Brother Jay, God bless his life, him and Miss Betty. Years being faithful and faithful and faithful. See, I believe this. Moreover, it's required in the steward that he be found faithful. The Bible says, and that's all I'm concerned about, some soweth, some watereth, and God gets the increase. I said, I'm be a good water boy. It don't bother me a bit in the world to be a water boy. Don't bother me. What I'm trying to get you to see, but the devil will come to your even to your place of service and say, you're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. All you can do is maybe cook. All maybe you can do is teach a young people's class, or maybe you can teach a toddler's class. Could I tell you something? I understand the devil's son is a master at deception, amen. Yeah. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. Nobody cares whether you live or die. Why don't you just quit? See, I realize it. If it hadn't been, look, if I, Brother Lawrence probably would know. If I ask you tonight, who was the shoe salesman that won D.L. Moody to the Lord? Pardon? Listen to this. What if the salesman had not won won D.L. Moody to the Lord? Everybody talks about D.L. Moody. But how about the man that won him to the Lord? Amen. Like your offerings that you give. What I'm saying is, if a cup of water, I'm saying, what's in it for me? I disdain that thing. We have been slowly, slowly desensitized to the needs of others. Man, I love going. Hey, if I go to the hospital, and if I go to visit one person, I wind up spending a half a day visiting people. I like it. I'd talk to that wall wouldn't talk back. But I mean, they'll say, would you go visit this man? Yes, sir. Would you go visit? And then I just go down the hall. Would you go visit this man? What I'm saying is, listen to me, and there's so much to do, but I can't get people involved in doing it. Me and little old Nathan. Anybody ever been depressed? How many of you have ever just bottomed out and hit the bottom? Raise your hand. How many of you? Well, if you haven't been, stay around, you will. I get little old Nathan, my youngest boy that died. And my wife was going through all kinds of things in her life. Boy, that's hard. It was hard back then. I'm talking about 25, 30 years ago. It was so hard. My wife was fighting depression, going through everything underneath the sun. Me trying to preach all the time. Nathan, just a little old boy. I'd come home and sometimes bills, financial things, problems are just falling on me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just sometimes I get just a sitting on me, just weighting me down. I'd get Nathan. He's just a little boy. And I'd get him, me and him would go to town, and I'd get me a whole load of carnations in my arm. Me and him would go down to the nursing home. We'd go down through there, and every one of them, he'd give everybody a carnation. And watch their faces just light up. They loved that little old boy. They'd kiss on him and love on him. And I'd watch their faces. And a lot of times, the lady at the florist would give me those carnations. And sometimes she'd give me roses. And we'd just walk down the hall, and I'd say, Nathan, give her a flower. He'd give her a flower, just a little old kid. And their faces would just light up. Man, I wouldn't get down half of, and I'd want to go charge hell the gasoline can. I mean, that would just do something for me, is just watching people's faces light up. And I'd look at them, and I'd see what a blessing it was. Just a little simple thing, as just spending a little time with people that couldn't even get out of a bed. Yeah, right. Helping others. Now watch this, let's go back, look at your mouth. But he'll come to you, and he'll say, you're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. You might be doing more than you think you are. Say amen. Third thing, go back and preach a minute, Matthew 19. He says, what shall we have therefore? What's in it for me? Reward, laying the crowns at his feet, helping others, amen. Stop all this depression. Just get busy, amen. Third thing, listen to this, write it down. Our love for the Lord Jesus. That ought to be the motivating force, the driving force in your life. 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Our love for the Savior. What do you mean by that, brother, sister? For paying our sin debt. The preacher in a moment ago, he's talking about count your many blessings. Right. Have you ever thought about it? Has it ever entered into your mind? What do you mean, preacher? What's in it for me? Our love for the Lord Jesus. Boy, I'd like for him to say, well done. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my face comes aglow every time I think about it. I put it in my mind, and I thought about this, forgiving me of all my faults and all my failures. And believe me, I have. I'm saying, what's in it for me is my love for him. It ought to be a driving force, a motivating force in your life. It ought to be something that excites you more than money or prestige. I got this little thing right here. You ain't got enough money. You ain't got enough cattle. You ain't got enough land. You don't have enough stocks and bonds to buy that. Didn't cost a whole lot. But the man that gave me that, son, it ain't worth much. It's not no real expensive thing. But he thought enough of me to give me that. And every time I look at it, boy, what a blessing it is to me. Because his hands are so crippled. And his hands are so messed up. And he's got crippling degenerate arthritis. And he can't hardly move, and he can't hardly walk. And he gave me that. Every time I put that thing on, every time I hang it around my neck, I say, hallelujah, thank God. Watch this, there's a day in my life, I was bankrupt, I didn't have nothing, Jesus came to where I was at, saved me, thank God, forgave me of all of my faults, all of my failures, amen. How to make you want to do something for him because he loves you, amen. Then I thought about this, he loves me in spite of all of my faults, loves me in spite of all my, and then watch this, I believe if people would fall in love with him, it would be the antidote to all of this worldliness. Worldliness is killing our churches. I'm saying, what's in it for me? One, to have a crown to lay at his feet. Two, helping others, amen. And thirdly, our love for him. Now, don't you write this down for me. Everybody write down for me. Number one, there's three marks that every God-called, blood-bought child carries. One is love is what I call love is the life that's in the soul. Amen. Secondly, obedience is the blossom of that love. And thirdly, service is the fruit of the obedience. Amen. Then there's three kinds, what I call three kinds of servants. One, slaves for fear. Slaves, I mean, just out of fear. Fear of being whatever. Fear of being reprimanded or whatever. I believe what you do ought to be because you love God and for no other reason. How many of y'all ever had parents raise you like this? Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
When my... Yours didn't take. I knew his mom and his dad. I'm just picking. My stepdad done this. And son, when he snapped his fingers, trust me, he was a military man, you cringed. Y'all understand what I'm just saying? All he had to do is snap his fingers. What I'm saying is, the motive as to why, when I was a boy, kids innately wanted to please their parents. Now they may not have all the time, but they wanted to. As bad and sorry as I was, and my mother never saw me drunk. Living on the streets, my mom never, she wouldn't believe it. But the reason why, and now then, they don't care how much they punish their parents. They don't care how much heartache they bring to them. Amen. But I'm trying to slave for fear. That's the wrong motive. Fear, just, I believe you ought to be a reverential fear, but I don't believe why you do what you ought to do is because out of fear. You ought to do it because you love him. Third, let me say the same. This servant's for wages. What's in it for me, Brother Sisson? That's that motivating thing in people's lives is them dollar signs. Say amen. That is, I'm telling you the God's honest truth. That's what drives people and pushes people. What's in it for me, Brother Sisson? If they change jobs, money. Change areas, money. I told this dear brother, God bless his heart, he's moving to Florida. I said, for God's sake, you don't need to move to Florida. He's in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I begged him, I pleaded with him, don't move to Florida. He took off to Florida and bought him a house down there. Went to 26 churches. Most of them he got up and walked out of because they used everything in the world other than the King James Bible. Next thing I know, here's what I mean. Here's what most people do. Most people, they're self-centered. They care about themselves. They don't care about the cause of Christ. They say, I am moving. They don't consult God. They just go do it. Amen, preacher. Good preaching, Melvin. We're slaves bought off of a slave block. Amen. And I'm saying people will go, they'll change jobs, they'll move, they'll do everything. They don't even consult God. They just go.
You're right.
And usually, it's lucrativeness. Right. What's in it for me? Amen, preacher. Money. We was talking about this. Preachers, God bless their heart. You see, that pendulum swinging, you brought nothing into this world. You ain't going to take nothing out of here. What I don't understand, everybody's stockpiling CDs, and what was it, Jimmy? How many did you say you had, them CDs?
Boxes
of CDs. I got excited. He was talking about them CDs. CDs. Crazy thing.
Blu-ray
CDs. He said, oh, yeah, I got all them. I got just boxes of CDs. Well, you got to know. You got to read behind the scene with Junior. You got to watch Junior all the time. Ain't that pitiful? I'm thinking, money.
There we go.
That's see there? See? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Slaves for fear, and then watch this, and then servants for wages. How's that sound about that? And I'm sorry, this may be offensive, but you just have to handle it. A person that puts a price tag on the ministry is a hireling. I'm telling you, that may not sit very good. Do I believe y'all take care of your preacher? Shout, yes! Yes, I do. Amen, preacher. But I'm talking about this thing for wages. You didn't hire him and you can't fire him. It's a calling. We don't even use them words anymore. That tears my frame up. They say, well, we pay our preacher. Ain't that pitiful? We pay our preacher. They don't even think about the calling anymore. Sometimes I can get mean as a devil. This guy picked me up and I hadn't been with him. I'm preaching to him. Well, don't start that double on me. I don't want to hear it. They picked me up, Brother Lawrence. And so I get in this van. And there's a 15 passenger van. And I'm sitting. They wanted me to sit right there. And I got over and sit in the passenger side. I'm sitting there. I don't know hardly any of them except the preacher I'm with. So we take off this fellowship meeting. And this preacher sitting on that pew, he went on and on and on and on and running his church down, running his people down. And he went on and on and on and on and told me he golfed four days a week and the church is in such a sorry shape and can't get them deacons to do nothing. And boy, financially, we were having the awfulest time. And he turned and he said, preacher, you're an evangelist. What do you got to say about it? He didn't know me very good. Well, I said, son, do you remember when God placed you in that place of service? Yeah. I said, do you remember how you agonized with God and wanted God to give you a full-time service? Oh, yeah. Well, I said, looks to me like if you work your field and stay off the golf course four days a week, you might have been in a little better shape. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't play golf, but I said, I don't know how much it is to go play a round of golf. But I said, if you play 4 days a week and you play 16 times a month, I'm doing this calculation in my head right quick. I said, even if it was $15 a click, I said, that's $60 a week. I said, looks to me like you wouldn't have as much hard trouble financially if you stay off that golf course. Boy, it got quiet like it's getting now. So we went to the fellowship meeting, and it got quiet in that van. Trust me, brother, it got quiet. Is there anything wrong with golfing? No. Is there anything riding horseback? No. But I'm saying, do you understand what I mean by that? So anyway, it got real quiet. We got to the church. We got out. And man, I felt like, dear God, I was a red-headed stepchild. And then on. I'm sitting there with my meal. And all of a sudden, I feel these hands like this. I feel these hands. And he come and fell on my neck like this. And he said, preacher, he said, thank you for telling me the truth. He said, I'm going to go back. He said, I'm going to start working the field God put me on. But my point is, listen, what I'm trying to get you to see, this thing about servants for wages. Amen. What ought to be the motivating force? Our love for Him. Why you tithe, why you give offerings? Ought to be because you love the Lord. Let's go back. Now watch this gets good. Not only slaves for fear, but then servants for wages, but then there's just out of pure love, just sons, just because you love Him. Please listen to me. Me and my wife's talking about it, trying to help my granddaughter go to Nationals or wherever they're going. And it ain't always been easy, Brother Noble, as far as financially. You know, it is a lot easier now than it was back in 27 years ago. Well, I wish to have me a mirror so you look at y'all's faces. So we was trying to help my granddaughter. And it's like Miss Sharon sitting back there. Oh. My wife has cloned herself with Kelsey, my granddaughter, which is 16. Y'all try living with two of them. But she's cloned herself. That's a good thing. Mary's taught her to sew and taught her how to do a lot of things. But anyway, we was trying to help her financially. And listen to me. I'm talking about why you do what you do. Don't you think our children are worth investing in? Say amen. Don't you think our grandchildren are worth investing in? How would you like to have a 16-year-old granddaughter that says, all I want to do is live for God and serve God? That's little old Kelsey. Little old hormone Harry comes running around and will run him off.
Yeah.
I done run off one. What are y'all laughing at? Little 16-year-old boy ain't got a lick of sense. What I'm saying is, sons, just out of love because we love God. But it's hard to produce a little old girl, 16-year-old, that just wants to live for God. Our school, Brother Broughton, you talk about having an effect on a young girl's life. It's my granddaughter. I don't think you're getting this. What's in it for me? I'd rather die, Brother Lawrence. Won't you listen to me, Brother Jay? I had rather die, Jay, as to my grandkids and my grandchildren file around my coffin and say, my papa didn't love God. My papa didn't live for God. I'd rather die. I had rather, God is my witness. I want them to file past my coffin and I want them to say, my papa loved the Lord. Hallelujah, thank God. What's in it for me? I want us to stand bare heads. We love Him because He first loved us. Our day and time, you have to be insistent upon getting people. We have to say, now we want you to come back tonight. You ought to want to come back tonight. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. You ought to love to want to give. Say amen. When the preacher says we're going to have a working, you ought to want to work. Not because he said that. Because that you want to do something for him because he did so much for you.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you all over the building, how many of them just come tonight and say, God, help me to break. God bless you, Brother Mike. God bless his heart. You pray for him and Miss Lisa. God called Brother Mike. Boy, God's hands up on Brother Mike. They ain't been married about a year. Now they just want to live and serve God. Come on, just get out of your seat tonight. How many, God knows the motive. He knows your motive. He knows why you pray. Most of us don't even pray till we get in trouble. Most of us, it takes laying flat on our back to look it up, and then all of a sudden we say, God, Lord, please come into my life. Help me. What's in it for me? Boy, I sure would like to have a crown to lay at his feet. Wouldn't you like to have a crown? Wouldn't you like to have a crown to lay at his feet? Lord Jesus, Lord, please speak to people's hearts tonight. God, I pray that God give us a revival that will change our anemic lives. Lord, may we fall out of love with this world and the things of this world. Lord, most of these people are exactly like me. They got grandchildren. Lord, some of them even got great-grandchildren. Lord, help us to be the right kind of an influence upon their life. May they see us sold out. Oh, God, from the depths of my heart, Lord, I sure would like to have a crown to lay at your feet. Lord, please tonight, search our hearts, stir our hearts, and then God empower us that we might live for you. Breathe upon us tonight, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.